is appropriately titled, My Mother's Prayers Have Followed Me. To all the mothers and grandmothers, may you deservedly enjoy a wonderful Mother's Day.
Thank you. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Seymour. Yes. You always bless us, that beautiful voice. May God continue to use you to His glory. Our speaker this morning needs no introduction. He's our very own June Small. Right here from our Lauderhill Baptist Church. She's our administrative assistant here. And she's a mother as well. Not only that, but she's a college professor. And so we're very happy and honored this morning to have her as our speaker for this Mother's Day. Amen. Sister June, may the Lord use you to His glory.
Okay, penny section. Thank you. It is a pleasure to be here to speak on Mother's Day. You know, Mother's Day was first came into existence as a public holiday when Woodrow Wilson was president early in the 1900s. Of course, we know that mothers have been around much, much longer than that, but it was Anna Jarvis who first wanted to honor her mother and decided to have a day that was set aside to honor mothers. And like Sister Henry said earlier, not only individuals who have actually birthed children are mothers, but so many people have helped to raise and to frame the minds of children all over. And so this is a day to honor women in general and their role. Amen?
Amen.
So today I will speak on the topic, what do you have? And so we turn to the book of 2 Kings chapter 4, and we're going to read the first 7 verses. 2 Kings, that's in the Old Testament, chapter 4. So if you start at Genesis, then you make a right from Genesis and you find Kings, the book of Kings, 1 Kings and then 2 Kings, the 4th chapter, verses 1 to 7. Now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha, saying, Thy servant, my husband, is dead, and thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord. And the creditor is come to take unto him my 2 sons to be bondsmen. And Elisha said unto her, What shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in the house? And she said, Thine handmaid hath not anything in the house, save a pot of oil. Then he said, Go, borrow thee vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels, borrow not a few. And when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and shalt pour out into all those vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full. So she went from him and shut the door upon her and upon her sons who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. And it came to pass that when the vessels were full, that she said unto her son, Bring me yet a vessel. And he said unto her, There is not a vessel more. And the oil stayed. Then she came and told the man of God, and he said, Go, sell the oil, and pay thy debt, and live thou and thy children of the rest. May the Lord add a blessing to his holy word. What do you have? Well, today is Mother's Day. And perhaps you're thinking, that's an odd topic to preach on. But let us take a look at the faith of this unnamed woman, this mother, and see what lessons we can learn. In the time following the death of King Solomon, Israel was divided into two kingdoms. During this period of spiritual indifference, men who maintained their faith in the Lord formed study groups for the purpose of keeping knowledge of God alive. These study groups were called companies of prophets, and the men were referred to as sons of prophets. As the story opens, a man who is referred to as a son of prophets had recently died, leaving his family in debt. It was common practice at that time for people to be forced to work or to be enslaved to repay their debt. But since there were no jobs for women back then, if the sons were forced into slavery, the widow would be left with no means of support. But God, how many of you know that there is always a but that can change the whole story? But God. Turn to your neighbor and say, but God. We know the story isn't over yet. But God. So this poor widow goes to Elisha to plead her case. My husband is dead and they're coming to take my sons as slaves. It is interesting. You know, on Friday in our youth meeting, we discussed with the young people that when they named children back in the days of the Bible, the names meant something. It wasn't just, oh, I like the name, or that's their dad's name, or it was a cute name or trendy, but it meant something. And so the name Elisha means my God saves. So he asks the question, what do you want me to do? I always think that was a strange question to ask. Jesus did the same thing as he asked the lame man at the pool of Bethesda, wilt thou be made whole? The answer seems obvious. But God will not force his will on anyone. You must come willingly to him. So Elisha asks the question, what do you have in the house? Well, firstly, change starts with what you have. Change starts with what you have. The widow answered, nothing. I have nothing. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. I do have a little oil. And that's it. A little oil. The Hebrew scholars believed that the oil that she had was oil that was kept for anointing. It was not even enough to cook. So it was indeed a small amount of oil in a little pot. And that is all that she had in the house. But you know, sometimes we place no value on what we have. Samuel, the prophet, went to Jesse's house to find a king. Jesse brought 7 sons before the prophets. These were mighty men of valor. But Samuel asked, is that it? What else do you have? Then Jesse says, oh yes, there's another little one, but he's outside with the sheep. And of course, we know the rest of the story. That little one with the sheep, David, was to be the king of Israel. Moses, in the desert, told God, "I can't speak. How will I go and face Pharaoh?" God said to him, "What do you have?" All he had was a shepherd's staff. God said, "Use it." And Moses used it to perform miracles. When Jesus was told that the 500 men plus women and children were hungry, he asked his disciples, "What do we have?" And with that little boy's lunch, he fed everyone and had lots of leftovers. So the question is, what do you have in the house? The solution many times is in what we have, not what we want or what we don't have. Many times we're fixated on what we don't and that we are automatically discontented. But God works with the little that we bring him. The California redwood trees are some of the largest trees in the world. They have a height of over 300 feet and a circumference of more than 120 feet. It would take 20 men with their hands outstretched. These men would have to be at least 6 feet tall to go around the trunk of one of these trees. Yet, those trees all started with one tiny seed. Brothers and sisters, God will work with the little that we bring him. So the question is, what do you have? We also want to remember that real change starts with small changes. This poor widow, no husband, no money, no job. She could have developed a victim mentality. "Oh, poor me. It's somebody's fault. It's not fair. Why am I going through all of this?" But the man of God asked her to step out in faith. Elisha did not say, "Let me see how much I have in my bank account. Let me see if I have anything on my credit card. I can give you some money." But he gave her instructions to use her own resources. He asks, "What do you have?" The book of James reminds us that if faith does not generate works, then it's dead. And this faith must lead to action. I believe God can do it, so I step out in faith. A story is told of a ship which came upon a sudden storm. It was so bad that the vessel began to take on water. The captain of the ship asked his crew, "Does anyone know how to pray?" One water-drenched sailor raised his hand. "I know how to pray." The captain said, "Good. You pray while the rest of us put on these life jackets because we're one jacket short." Faith, my friends, leads to action. Elisha told her to go and collect jars. Can you imagine the neighbors? Good morning. Can I borrow some jars? Sure. What do you need them for? And the sons were like, you know, the young people would say, it's complicated. See, we have this little oil, and we're going to pour them in all these jars, and they're going to be filled. And the neighbors must have been looking at them like, you are a little short. But brothers and sisters, sometimes we just need to speak the language of faith. Yeah. God said it. I believe it. And that settles it. I need no other argument. I need no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died and that he died for me. She didn't understand the how of the miracle, but she had faith. So when we don't understand, when we don't see his plan, when we can't trace his hand, trust his heart. Real change comes through faith. In verse 5, Elisha told her to go in with her sons and shut the door. Sometimes you need to close the door. The neighbors were probably still looking. What's going on over there? Shut the door behind you to have an intimate meeting with God. Shut out all the doubt, all the distraction. Matthew 6 and 6 says, when you pray, go into your room and shut the door. Shut the door so the windows of heaven will open and pour down a blessing. The Bible tells us that once she had shut the door with her sons, she began to pour. Out of the little pot of oil, she started to pour. And she poured. And she poured. And she poured. And she poured. Until all the vessels that she had borrowed were full. Then she told her son, go get bring another jar. And he said, that's it, no more. Then the oil stopped. Brothers and sisters, this is God's multiplication. God has the power. Philippians 4 and 19 tells us that God will supply all our needs according to his riches in glory. If she had said, I better hold on to this oil because I don't know when I'm going to get any more, they would have lived a life of slavery and death. Let God use you to do small things, so he can use you for big things. He called David to do big things, to be king. But David started out leading sheep. So I ask you again, what do you have? Here we have a single mother with no resources, yet she became an entrepreneur. After she paid the debtors, she had enough for her family to live comfortably. Those neighbors must have been looking again and saying, what just happened here? I thought they were poor. I thought they were going to lose the house. Yesterday they were losing everything, and today they're living large. God honored her faith. Her willingness to step out and give all she had. He took her from shame to fame. What about you? What do you have? What are you holding on to? What are you willing to give to God? The Bible tells us that if we have faith the size of a mustard seed, we can move mountains. You might not be able to play the piano or even sing like Brother Seymour. You might have the gift of encouragement. You might be a prayer warrior. You can be a greeter in the house of the Lord. Are you just satisfied to sit back and hope for the best? Have you been attending church here, but just on the periphery? Or are you an active member? Are you an active member, the kind that would be missed? Or are you just content that your name is on the list? Do you attend the meetings to mingle with the flock? Or do you stay at home to criticize and knock? Do you take an active part to help the work along? Or are you just satisfied to only just belong? Do you work with your committee and get right in and mix? Or leave the work to just a few and talk about the cliques? Think it over, member. You know right from wrong. Or are you an active member? Or do you just belong? In what you have is the power to change. Change starts with what we have. Real change starts with small changes. Real change comes through faith. So what do you have? Bow your heads with me. Whatever it takes to draw close to you, Lord, that's what I'll be willing to do. Whatever it takes to be more like you, that's what I'll be willing to do. I'll trade sunshine for rain, comfort for pain. That's what I'll be willing to do. And whatever it takes for my will to break, that's what I'm willing to do. My prayer for you today is that you will search your hearts. Ask yourself that question, what do you have? And use your talents to serve the Lord. Amen.
God has certainly spoken to us today. And we are reminded that little becomes much when we place it in the Master's hand. God can take the little you have and work wonders with it. He took a little stone in the hand of David, the shepherd boy, and slayed a great giant. Whatever little you have, he can take it and multiply it, use it to your glory. But you must place it in his hand and trust him for the outcome. If you're here this morning and you have never received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I want to tell you there is forgiveness. There is eternal life. Jesus said in Revelation 3:20, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and will sup with him, and he with me." So I encourage you during the singing of the invitational hymn to step out from your seat, make your way down the aisle this morning, and give your all to the Lord. Our hymn of commitment is number 308, "Pass Me Not, O Gentle Savior." Do not